Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come before you, not only to lift our voices up in praises to you through the singing of gospel music, but Lord, what a great ability and privilege that we have to open up the word that you have preserved for us so that we can see the things that you want us to see from your word, the things that, Lord, are true, the things that have happened, things that have come to pass. And we thank you for these things that we can learn and grow in our lives to be better for you. Lord, I pray that you be with me this morning. Use me to speak to your folks. Lord, I ask that you bestow your wisdom, your knowledge upon me as I teach your word. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. All right, a little bit of review time. What are we going over, folks? If you know it, please speak up loudly so I can hear you. Anybody? Samuel. Exactly. What do we know about Samuel? What happened, first of all? Come on, we all ought to know this. Don't be afraid to speak up. It's okay. Okay, we got some. Hannah was wanting the son, a man-child, which Q called last week. So we got Samuel. We learned about Samuel a little bit, and then we took a break, and then we learned about a priest's son, two of his sons. What was the priest's name? Eli. Eli's sons are? Hophni and Phinehas. They were good people? No, they were what? Evil people, wicked people, exactly. And so we saw here that Eli had forgotten, and I'm going to stick with this, to basically forgot to raise his children in the way that they should have went. And so they went down the wrong path. And so what happened with that? They went into battle. What happened when we went into battle? They were killed. But what happened before that? I got to back up. God talked to Samuel. He appeared to him in a dream. And he called him to salvation twice. Then he called him to service twice. And then he talks to Samuel. What's he say? Hey, Eli's sons and his family are going to die. So we go to the next chapter. We see that there's a great war between who? It's pretty common in Scripture when you talk about the Israelites. It's pretty common. Philistines. The Israelites and the Philistines, they're constantly at battle with one another. And so we see here through this battle, there were two sons that were killed. And Benjamin, one of the guys that was in the war, he comes out and he tells Eli. He tells Eli, hey, Eli, your sons are dead. They're gone. And Eli is still living. The second thing that he tells him is what? The Ark of the Covenant was stolen. And what happened after he heard the response of the Ark of the Covenant being stolen? He died. He broke his neck. And he was no longer living. And then we see some things begin to happen here. We go into the life of Samuel a little bit. We begin to go through his ministry last week because his ministry really begins in chapter number 7 here. And we see here, before then, we see that when the Ark of God was taken, the Philistines took it. And what was their major god? Anybody? Dagon, exactly. And then we go on to the next chapter. And we see that the Israelites served a couple other gods. What were they? Ashtaroth, exactly, and Balaam. So let's go ahead and turn to our Bibles again, because to the book of Judges, chapter number 2, because I want to go through this real quick, because they had a problem, and that's just before, after Joshua here. They had a problem even before this took place with these two gods of Balaam and Ashtaroth. And so in Judges chapter number 2, we read here in verse number 13, we read it here real quick, and I'm going to back up in verse number 11. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Okay? So we see here, as I've been talking about, how the Israelites have distanced themselves from God. How do they distance themselves from God? Well, they begin to serve other gods. And there's a strict warning in Scripture for us not to serve other gods, because you go back in the book of Exodus, that we are not to have any other gods before God. Why? Because God is a jealous God. God wants all of our attention. I'm going to go there here in a little bit. But we see here, even back then, they begin to have troubles here, forsaking the Lord and going and serving other gods. It says in verse number 12, it says, and they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves under them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, verse number 13. These are the two gods that we're talking about in 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. When you see the word forsook, what does that mean? They left. They gave up. You can put it in those terms as well. They turned their backs on their God. And let me say this today. Not only is that happening, did that happen back then with the Israelites, but it is happening today in our society with believers. Believers are turning their backs on God, and that happens. And so we see here they begin to have some troubles here. I'm going to go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 6, because we are told in Scripture in the New Testament that we are not to have any other gods before us. And I know that's not coming out the way I wanted to. I'm kind of rushing myself here because I want to get on par here. But in the book of Matthew chapter number 6, there is a warning here in verse number 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. So we see back here in the book of Judges that the men not only had two, they had the God, but then Baal, then Ashtaroth. So they had three that they were actually serving. And so they were devoting their time not only to God, partially, let's remember that, it's not a full service, but then they are also devoting their other time to serving other gods. And so verse number 24 in Matthew, again, these are the words of Jesus. These aren't the words of any other man. These are the words of Jesus. It says, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Last week, I had you guys write down on a little 3x5 card two gods that were in your life that are hindering you from serving God the way that you should. And now, I don't know if you guys have filled those out. I've heard of some remarks. Some filling out. I don't know if everybody took those to the fullest of their liberty to fill those out. And I asked you, as you fill those out, to pray for those things, that God would remove those things from your life. I had one individual that told me, he said, every time that I begin to look at this, it always pointed back to me. I tell you what, that was a good response, and I appreciated that response because I was so honest. And then he followed up and says, well, I didn't want to pray that God would eliminate me. But anyway, that's true. When we think about serving other gods, it all points back to us, what we want and our desires. And so we see here that Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Well, we have a problem in our society today where we serve many different masters. And I told you last week that God wants all of us. He doesn't just want part of us. He wants our whole body. He wants our whole mind. He wants our whole heart. We went into Scripture about that last week in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And let's go ahead and turn there so we can rehearse that again. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we'll read there. And I think I lost my little place. No, I didn't. Here it is. In verse number 3, it says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts, and the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So we see here that God wants what, folks? All of our hearts. Now, he doesn't just want part of it, does he? He wants all of it. And so here's what normally happens in our society. We come to God. God finds us. We see a need for salvation. God saves our soul. And we get on fire for God at some time. And then something happens along life. We get out of God's will. And so when we get out of God's will, we see here this is a perfectly whole apple. And I look at this apple here as God's protection over his children. And something happens when you cut an apple in half. Something begins to happen. It begins to what? It begins to decay. So we have this whole apple here, and look what happens. You guys see that? Now, when I cut that open 12 hours ago, that was a perfectly crisp apple. Very clean. Anybody could eat it if they just so desire to. Now you look at this, what do you see? You see brown. Now who wants to dive their teeth into this brown apple? With your response, I would say none of you. Thank you for shaking your heads. And so we see here that when we don't give our whole heart to God, what happens? Well, we step out into the world and we have two masters. We have God, and then we have the world. Look what happens here. It's brown. Well, what's so significant about that? When you begin to fall in sin, what happens with life? You begin to distance yourself from God. This brown here is a symbol of us distancing ourselves from God who desires to have a relationship with him. And in other words, it becomes tainted. And you all folks just testified to me this morning that you did not want to dump your mouth into this apple. Why? Because it looks gross. It looks tainted. It doesn't look appealing. But that's what happens when we give God half of our life. And so what God wants us to do is give him this whole body right here. This apple represents the body. And I look at this outer shell, if we call this the skin of an apple. I look at this skin of the apple, and I'm not comparing God to an apple. But I look at this, and I think of this. This is God's protection hovering over his children. Completely protecting us. Do you guys ever pray, God, put your arms of a hedge of protection around about us? Well, this is how I look at this. This is a whole protection for this whole apple. For what? So when we so desire to eat it, it's going to be fresh. It's going to be clean, it's going to be delicious, and we're going to want to partake in it. Well, when we have that other apple, when it's been cut in half, and we're serving the world, and we're trying to serve God, guess what happens? Our relationship with God becomes distance. And that's not where you and I should desire to be in our life. You and I are so guilty of putting other gods in front of us. Can anybody tell me what today is? Excuse me? February 5th. But what does the world look at today as?
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, I got in my hand a baseball here, and this baseball represents many things to many people. And this here is a sport that we have all played probably at some point in time in our life. We start out playing baseball, and as we get older, we play softball because we can no longer keep up with the speed of baseball. And then when we go to softball, we go on to these bigger things that are much slower. But this here, I don't have a football in my hand today, but this here represents a sport that so many Americans gravitate to. And I'm going to say this, that so many Americans and God's children, God's believers, and I got to put that in there, will put God on hold for this little piece of ball. What do you mean? Well, they'll get kids involved in sports and in the practices, and they begin to miss church from time to time and other events like that matter. Why? Because that has become a god in your life, not realizing that it has. And so because of that, you've begun to choose to serve two masters. In Scripture, how many masters does a child of God have? One. We have one master, and that is God himself. Now, God gets jealous when we begin to put other things in front of him. I kid you not, there is a Super Bowl game today, we all are aware of that, and many people flock to this little pigskin, and they put a lot of joy into it, and they probably at some time in their life, they'll gamble on it, they'll make wagers on the game. And I will say this, and I'm talking specifically about God's people, they will purposely miss church so that they can sit home and watch a pigskin being thrown around by a bunch of old men. That's what they are. They're old men chasing a ball. And so they'll put God on hold for a few hours in their life. There are churches that will cancel their evening services tonight so that their church people could stay home and watch the Super Bowl. Why is that taking place? Why are you even mentioning this morning? Because we have put no other different, we're not even different than the Israelites. We have put other gods besides Balaam and Ashtaroth in our lives that we serve, and we put them above God. And we sit there and say for a brief moment in history that these events are more important than God himself. And then we turn around the next Sunday or maybe the next Wednesday and say, God, will you please bless us today? What right does God have to bless you when you put him on the back burner? You see how selfish we are when we come to these things? And so we see here the Israelites have gotten themselves into trouble. In the process, people were killed. They lost 30,000 at one point in their life going to battle. The Ark of God was taken from them. Why? Because they chose to serve other gods. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you willing to sacrifice in your life that you'd want God to take away from you? to get your attention. Oh, Chad, that, God doesn't work that way. Yeah, God does. God does things in our lives to wake us up, to open our eyes, to get a hold of us. And he says, hey, I want you to understand that I should be the only God in your life. Why are you serving other gods? We're all guilty. We're all guilty. There's not one in here this morning that is innocent on this matter. We have chosen to serve other gods. And what happens when this takes place? Well, they saw defeat in their lives. And so you're going to see a lot of things happen tonight where men and women, God's children, that will specifically stay home and say, hey, I'm going to worship the football. That's not true. That's exactly what is taking place. Whether you want to come to that reconciliation of it, that's exactly what's taking place. Because that's become their God. What has that football done for you? Did that football go to the cross? Did that football give you eternal life? Did that football save your soul from hell? No. So why do we even give in to these things? It's because we're serving other gods, folks. That's what's taking place. And so the Israelites were serving other gods. And it says here, we had three conditions that were taking place in verse number 3. It says, "We are to, if you do return to the Lord with all your hearts, and you put away the strange gods." And so we're to put them away. We're to rebuke them. We're to get them out of our lives. And I hope that you took that opportunity this week as you looked at your little 3x5 card and you saw the gods that were in your life that you didn't want there no more. And I hope you took the time to give them over to God and so that you can be delivered from those things, so you no longer are bound to those things, so you no longer have that heavy burden that's upon your life. How we are to give those things to God so that he can take them away from us. Because it says here in the same verse, it says, "And prepare your hearts in the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." And so we see here the importance of rejecting. We see the importance of rebuking. We see the importance of cleaning house of the gods that we have that are in our life. Now, again, I'll say this until the day I die. I don't know your gods, and you don't know my gods, and I don't want to know your gods, and you don't want to know mine. But I will say this. It is time that we become serious with God, serious about serving him, and rebuking those things. Well, if I come to this altar after the services this morning, people know that I'm struggling with things. Who cares? Who cares? We should not worry about what other people are thinking about us. Because when God is working in your heart, you should have that desire to walk down or even stay in your seat to get things right with God. Who cares if people laugh at you? Who cares if people know you're struggling with things? Maybe it's a time for us to put away our pride and put away our embarrassment and say, you know what? It's time. I don't want to be like the Israelites. I don't want to have these other gods that are in my life that are taking up my time to where I should be devoting my worship to him, to where I should be devoting my time to him, to where I should be giving God my all. This is where you and I should be in our lives. We should live, breathe, eat, sleep the things of God. Again, this world is not eternal. It's going to pass one of these days. The heavens, the God that we serve, Jesus, is eternal. And that's where our goal should be. That's where our thought process should be. And so we see here that Samuel, he begins to pray for the children of Israel at this time. And he goes on, it says, "Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only." They rejected those things, and then they came back to God. And Samuel, verse number 5, said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." Thank God today that we have men who stand behind the pulpit and say, hey, I want to pray for you. I want God to be so real in your life, I'm going to pray that God works and intervenes in your behalf. You know what? That's not taking place in a lot of churches across our world today, because there are a lot of pastors are out there that are always, they're only concerned about themselves. They're concerned about the size of the flock they have. They're concerned about the size of the offering they have. They're concerned about the size of the house that they have, but they're really not concerned about the souls that are before them. And I'm thankful today that we have men that stand behind a pulpit that have a desire to pray for God's people, They have a desire to sit there and say, I know that there's something wrong in your life, and I want to pray for you because I want you to be delivered from these things. And so Samuel, he stands out, and he gets up, and he prays for these folks. In verse number 6, it says, and they gathered together in Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. Why did they fast on that day? They didn't fast on that day for them to cleanse them of their stuff that they were eating, but they fasted that day to cleanse them of the sin that was in their life. Remember, I talked about fasting a while ago. Fasting is about cleansing your soul for the Lord. And so they begin to fast on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry on the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hands of the Philistines. Now look what happens. Now they're going to Samuel and say, hey, Samuel, don't stop crying before the Lord. Don't stop going before the Lord for us, because Samuel, we know that God is listening to your prayer, and we covet your prayers. I told you last week that I covet prayers, and they're needed in our lives. Boy, when you see somebody hurting and you know that they're hurting, take time to pray for them. Grab them by the hand or put your arm around their neck and say, hey, can I just pray with you for a second? Can I ask that God can do a work in your life? And so they saw the importance of Samuel praying for him. They're saying, Samuel, don't stop. We need this. Continue to go before the Lord for us. And I know for a fact that our pastor here this morning prays for every single individual in this church. He spends a great deal of time praying for the folks at Open Door Baptist Church, not just the adults, but for the children as well. Why? Because he has a love and a desire for you folks to have a great relationship with the Lord. That's his desire. And so Samuel goes on and he continues to pray. Verse number 9, it says, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Isn't that amazing? That we have a God today that hears us. Amen. We have a God today that hears us. And he wants to answer our prayers. This next line, point I put out here, my first one is a crying for the Lord. The second one was the conditions. The third one this morning is the God of help. The God of help. Do you realize this morning God wants to help you folks? Do you realize God not only wants to help you financially, but God wants to help you more spiritually? You know, we live here on earth and we become so consumed and so interested and our thoughts are about everything about this world. And God does bless his children financially, but God wants to bless his children spiritually. He wants to bestow the knowledge of heavens upon them. He wants to bestow the knowledge of him upon them. He wants to bless us spiritually. But we see here that we have a God of help. In verse number 10, it says, and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before the Lord. Discomfited means they got confused. They became irritated. They became mad. There's a lot of different meanings there. And it says here that they were smitten before the Lord. Why were they smitten before the Lord? Because you go back to one gentleman, one guy who stayed true to God. We're reading about people. We start off with Hannah. Hannah was a woman that was faithful and remained faithful to God. And then we went off and we got off some other people that did not remain faithful to God. We even read of a nation who's not being faithful to God. But now we see a man. Despite all the things that are going around about him, despite all the people that he knows and that he loves and that he cares for, how they have rejected God and how they have decided to turn their backs on God and go serve other gods, there's one man that can stand before the Lord and pray and call on Almighty God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there one in this group that can remain faithful? Is there one? Despite everything that's going about you, despite everything that you see and everybody's trying to lure you into, try to lure you away from God, can you be like Samuel and say, I'm going to reject and I'm going to accept what God has for me? I see here a man that desires to have a relationship with God. Is there one in here this morning that desires to have a relationship with God? Or is there one in here this morning that says, you know what? I'd rather have a relationship with the world. If that is you this morning, I feel for you. I truly do. And I hope I can't change your ways. I can't change your thoughts. But my prayer is this morning, if that is you, I pray that God gets a hold of your heart and you reject the gods that are trying to hold you down from serving the true God. So Samuel, he's able to call upon the Lord. And as he calls upon the Lord thunders with a great thunder, and the Philistines were smitten before the Lord. And the men of Israel, verse number 11, went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, which is why I get my third point, the God of help. God wants to help us this morning. God wants to be a part of our life this morning. God wants to have a relationship with you this morning. But unfortunately, we have things that come in our lives where we say, I'm going to step away and I'm going to serve some other gods just for a brief moment. And then because of that, we choose to separate from God. Our relationship becomes something that's not so desirous to be a part of. And that's not where you or I should be in our life. So we see here in Samuel, he goes on and he says, the Samuel took a stone and said between Mizpah and Shin, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Do you realize this morning that we can have victory in our lives? And we can only get that way when we truly begin to live for Him. You know, we all struggle with battles in our life. We all have different struggles. We all have many different battles that consume us and that plague us. But why does this happen? Because we're forgetting about God. And we're allowing these things to consume our lives. We can have victories in our lives if we truly turn our hearts back to Him. Samuel, he remained faithful to God. No matter what the Israelites went, he remained faithful to God. You look back in the book of Joshua, and Pastor said it last week, and I didn't get to it. It was part of my message this morning. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But it goes back, and I skipped a part for a reason. It says, choose you this day. Do you realize it's your choice? Some of us, and I don't know who it is, it's not important for me to know, we're choosing the wrong things. We're choosing things that we think that are more important than God. We put more value on than we put more value in God. But we had a man here who remained faithful no matter what. You know what happens normally in lives? What would have been the easy thing for Samuel to do? Think about this. The easiest thing for Samuel probably would have been to do is just to give in, go with the people, and walk away. You know what the hard thing to do is? The hard thing to do is to stay. Remain faithful when you're all alone. That's the hard thing. It's easy to do it when everybody's watching us. But when you're alone and everybody's deserted you, that's when it becomes hard. And Samuel desired to have a relationship with God. Samuel desired to be blessed by God. I tell you what, if Samuel can stand up and rebuke the things that were coming about him, I think we can too as well. But again, it goes back. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. It falls back to you. It's no different than a parent raising a child. We can raise our children to the best of our ability. But at the end of the day, when they become 18, 19, maybe 40, 45, all depends on how long you keep them in your house. At the end of the day, it's their choice. And hopefully they choose what is right. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, they were dealing with this back with Joshua. There are gods that they were serving. Balaam and Ashtaroth. They were forsaking the Lord. They were turning their backs upon Him. And that's why Joshua even then says, hey, you know what? I'm choosing to serve God. And then we can fast forward and we go to Samuel, and Samuel says, you know what? I'm choosing to serve God. That should be us. That should be our thought process this morning. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The other thing I want to point out here is the Philistines were powerless against the Israelites. Why? Because the Israelites sought forgiveness, they turned back to the Lord, and God brought defeat in their lives for them. When God is on your side, all your enemies, all your other gods that come before you are completely powerless. They hold nothing against you when God is on your side. When you're giving God your all, they're defeated. So we see here, God wants not only to be the God for the Israelites, but we see here even, God wants to be the God for the Philistines, just like he is for the Israelites. God is the God of us, and he still wants to be the God of the unsaved world. He wants them to come to him. But unfortunately, it goes back to that choice. Some say yes, some say no. And then I want to close with this. Ebenezer means the God of help, which is why you'll see in Psalms chapter number 23, where David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because David's recognizing here, I don't want anything, nor do I need anything, because I know my God's going to help me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll close with this thought this morning with God wants to be the God of help to you as well. God wants you to experience the victories, the wins, and the battles in your life, just like the Israelites experienced in their time. See, God chose them to be his people. But even so, they forsook him. They turned their backs and served other gods. They got some things right, and look what happened. They sought forgiveness. God brought victory in their lives. Why? Because he's a God of help, and he wants to be the God of help. Brother, sister that is in here this morning, God wants to help you this morning. But unfortunately, we say no. We have the mentality in our lives, hey, I can fix it myself. I have a better solution. If you're like me, the result at the end is not what it should be. You and I need to step out of God's way and let him work and be a help in our life the way that he desires to. See, we get in the way. And we sit there and say, I got a better plan. I got a better idea. I have a better result. But no, God does. See, we mess God's plan up. God wants to be a help to you this morning. Will you let him? Will you let him be that encouragement to you? Would you let him be that blessing to you this morning? Will you let him be the help that he so desires to be for you? Will you forsake those gods that are in your life this morning? And will you say, I will choose the Lord this day and serve him and serve him only? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we're able to spend in your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, even as we close, that you would not be done dealing with the hearts and lives of people. But Lord, I pray you continue to work. Lord, you have showed me some areas in my life where I have put other gods before you. And Lord, you have made it so real to me. And Lord, I ask in front of everybody this morning, please forgive me for putting other gods in my life before you. Lord, help me to realize that you are and should be the most important thing in my life. Lord, help me not to forsake you. Help me not to turn my back upon you for the false gods of this world. I ask you these things. We thank you for your love. In your name, amen.